Welcome to the Realize Soul podcast with Tessa Alburn. Receive a healthy dose of soothing vibes, heartfelt stories, and sweet soul wisdom for thriving outside of the conventional world.
Hello there. I'm so pleased you could join me with our very first Beach Series podcast. Splish, splash, go the waves against the shoreline. Pelicans glide overhead and plummet themselves into the shallow waters, full throttle, to catch as much as they can in their throat pouch. Completely full, they then rest and digest together on the lava reef. They are fully in their experience, present to what is and what they want. Today, we're going to take a look at soul purpose. Questions like, why am I here? Or what am I meant to do? What is my purpose? These types of questions we seem to cycle through now and again, and they can kind of linger in the back of our minds. But for many people, that's where they remain. And I really feel like they just kind of become a fodder for irritation in a way, or just like a feeling of being unsettled, or not even, maybe not even feeling good about oneself, or just having like a sense of incompletion, because most people don't dive in deep enough. So what I'm going to share with you today is a little bit about my own journey and ways that I've connected to my purpose. And I'm also going to give you some real suggestions for ways that you could connect with your soul purpose. First, when we're not connected to our purpose, we're just more or less going through the motions of life. We can fill up our lives with a lot of busyness, and while we're in the busy, we can really kid ourselves that we're happy and content. We're often doing what we think is the right thing to do, like the so-called, you know, what is acceptable. The right thing. I ought to be doing that. And when we do this behavior, we're basically subscribing to a way of participating in society and in our world that was conditioned into us many, many, many years ago. It was conditioned in our parents before us, and it was also conditioned into their parents, and so on and on and on. Everybody got conditioned. And so we just kind of get like on this cycle with everybody else, and we keep doing it because we want to belong. And we want to be accepted. So we do these things that we've been conditioned for, but our souls really do want something more for us. Now, I do believe that we will ultimately get whatever the soul lessons are that we came here for, but we're not going to get all of them in one lifetime. But we will get a chunk of them. But wouldn't it just be a lot better, a lot more fun if we like had more passion? If you had more passion in your life, if you were excited a lot more than you are about what was coming up, you know, the choices that you're making in your life, like if those were more fun and you were looking forward to them, wouldn't life just be a whole lot better? There will always be challenges, no matter what level of happiness we're at. So we may as well be happy and having a good time through the challenges than being like miserable. So if you were living from excitement rather than dread or pushing through all the time, you know, it would be more like, oh, I'm curious about what's coming up. Oh my gosh, life is really exciting. Yeah, there's little stuff over here. There's, you know, I've got these challenges. It would just be a different story that you tell and different memories that you're creating and different experiences that you're having. So I'm glad you're here today and opening to a new curiosity around purpose. One of the things that I've noticed over the years with a lot of my clients is that they report things like they're sort of restless, or maybe like they're feeling something's calling to them, but they're not sure what, and they don't know exactly what to do about it. And even more so now than, say, 5 years ago, there's this call, a stronger call. And I think that a lot of this has to do with alignment of planets and where we are in the galaxy and all of these sorts of things. So it's all, a lot of energy moving. And it also feels like time is speeding up a little bit. So some of them are thinking things like, oh, I'm ready to retire, but now I can't do it. I was going to go travel the world and I've totally changed my mind and I don't really know what I want. And then they're kind of in a mess of different situations and circumstances and they're having to unentangle themselves from this. And then there's the younger generation who, you know, for economic reasons or upheaval reasons, whatever's going on in the world, like they're having to stay at home longer. But then they're like, wait a second, I need to spread my wings. But they don't really even know what that means, right? So they're like really questioning. And you could be in this category of like questioning, what's next for me? I know there's something. Or am I just going to go create a carbon copy of what my folks did in some way, right? Like, you know, the name of your job could be different, but ultimately it could be very much the same. Working some ad infinitum number of hours, you know, getting to relax, let's say on a weekend, even if you're not in a traditional job or career where you work Monday through Friday, let's say, and then you have the weekends off. But there's like this pattern, there's this thing that happens where you're living to work and not working to live. And people, you are wanting something more. We come up against these places in our life. And I think one of the big ones for me was when I was right around, I was around 40 years old, and I knew I wanted to make a big change. I'd been doing, I'd actually had two different careers already. And I was like, oh my God, I really want something else. And everything just sort of kept falling through my grasp. Every time I embraced an idea, I was like, no, that's not it. And I just kept cycling around this. I didn't know what to do about it. I just knew I needed to get in touch with something deeper. And as I started on that journey, there were things that began to come into my awareness where I could hardly believe it, because even though my life didn't follow exactly what my mom had done and what my dad had done, it didn't matter. The energy of their unmet desires were getting lived out through me. I was fulfilling their unmet desires unconsciously. And that was a big mind blower. Now, that's a different podcast, like some of those stories there, some of those examples. But I was like, are you kidding me? I am on this wheel of doing what they actually wanted to do with their lives, and I didn't even know it. So what we want to do is connect with our purpose as consciously as we can, so you can get a really good handle on things and understand the context of your life and really come into harmony with your soul. There are practices for you to engage in deeper questions, and you'll find that you're not like fighting with yourself as much, and you're not like mad at your soul. You can be asking yourself questions like, what, why did I incarnate? What the heck? What is really going on here? So we want to be more conscious and also really be true to ourselves around this. At one point in my life, I was teaching scuba I had actually taught for more than a decade, and I got to do all kinds of wonderful, amazing things with that. And I'm sure you're going to hear about some of those adventures over time. But later on, after I'd done a lot of that, actually, this might have been about 10 years later, after I stopped teaching, I was like, what is it that I'm really craving? Because scuba had really given me a focus and my passion was really alive. But when it came to a close, I was like, now what? And I had moved to the state of Hawaii, the Big Island, and I was doing a lot of skin diving. But I wasn't really having a longing for scuba diving. Instead, I noticed I was having a yearning for deeper water experiences, like being in deeper water, being in bluer water. And I went through this phase where I wasn't even that interested in the fish and the coral and all that stuff that most people get interested in when they get in to go for a snorkel, right? And I started to listen to this calling in myself. I was like, what is this? What is that? Why do I want to go for a swim in blue water where there seems like there's nothing there? Is there something wrong with me? And of course, I had some self-doubt too. And at first, I was like questioning, why would I really want to do that? Was I trying to escape? What was it? You know, and I was out there by myself. I wasn't snorkeling with anybody. And I would be like in the middle of nowhere where there's no reef at all. There's not even a reference point for visual. So there's sort of this, there can be like a disorientation even that happens, but it can also be really cool. So I had to make sure that I got back to shore and all that stuff and keep my safety in mind. I'm always thinking about that because I don't like to take a lot of big risks, but I just had to go. I had to go where it was bluer, where it was deeper. And then I started to remember that when I was scuba diving a lot, I had spent many, many hours underwater. I was remembering these pictures in my mind of being like on vacations and going to these exquisite places like Bali or the Grand Caymans or wherever it was. And usually there was some sort of a wall dive. Now, if you've never dived, what this means is it's like an underwater cliff. And then on the cliff edge, on the top of the cliff, and on the sides of the cliff, there are all these cool things happening. There's like little schooling fish because they're hiding out in the corals that are growing off of this underwater cliff. And you see the bright blue or the deep blue behind this. And then there's all this activity on the reef, on a healthy reef at least. And there could be sea fans and the water is moving things gently. And so things are kind of popping out. And if you put your light on it, it gets really colorful. You can see the true color of things. It's really extraordinary. And this is what most people are interested in. And so on the other side of the wall, there's just blue. And the deeper you are, the darker color blue it is. And then it just fades out into nothingness. You just can't see anything. It starts to get darker and darker and deeper usually the further out it goes. And I was thinking about previous dives over my career and I began to recall a particular thing that I would do. And it was like, it was an inner aspect and a behavior. And I'd be diving. Maybe I was like with a tour guide. If I was on vacation, often there's a tour guide. Or sometimes I'd be with my buddy and I'd be kind of just following along and taking it easy and enjoying what I could see. But what then clarified for me was that everyone else on these dives was almost always interested in the stuff. Right, the stuff on the wall, everything that was growing, all the colors and the textures and all this stuff. They weren't interested really in the blue waters. And, you know, occasionally they'd look up to see if there was a school of fish or something like that, or a big animal coming by, sometimes a manta or some other kind of ray or some other exotic large ocean creature. But I was always looking out there. And I think I spent at least like 60% of the time looking out into the blue. And then I'd look back toward the wall, unless, of course, there was something truly spectacular. And then I'd go in and really take it all in visually and see what that was. But I had this pull where I just wanted to keep looking out into the blue. What's there? What's there? What's there? Oh, and then I would get into this state of like readiness. I was so excited. And I'd almost be thinking like, yeah, any moment now, something's going to come and I'm ready for it and I'm going to see it and I'm going to get to like be with that creature, whatever it is. I was in such a state of readiness that sometimes I could actually feel the energy of a creature that was about to approach. I was just in this rapturous state of readiness. I'm ready. Where is it? It was so exciting. It just made my dive so much more exciting. And of course, because I was looking out there, something often would swim by. And it was always very rewarding and just like wonderful to be able to experience, whether it was a turtle or a dolphin or a ray or whatever it was. So the thing for me was I had this charge inside of me that was just compelling me to keep looking and keep wondering. And what I realized is that this part of me, this aspect, it actually like takes precedence over other parts. And I realized what the essence was. And this particular essence for me is what I call the explorer. I am an explorer. I am exploration. I love to find out what is on the other side of something, like what's just over there. And I don't always do anything with that information. I just want to know and I want to experience it and I want to understand it through the experience that I have of it. So what I learned about myself was that part of my purpose on many different levels is actually connected to this idea, this value of exploration and discovery. Exploration for me doesn't mean like just looking into something. It means like there's also a bit of a sense of danger, a small risk of danger. I'm definitely not a big danger seeker by any stretch of the imagination, but I will go to what I know or believe to be my edges. And I know how to just go a little bit past and then make sure that I'm safe. And always have that in mind so I can recover easily if something were to occur. So you won't ever see me climbing a mountain, going up to Mount Everest. That's not going to happen because that's just too far out of my zone. Once I have chosen a skill set, then I'll learn it to the best of my ability and then just push and go out to the edge of whatever that skill set is and explore. One of the other ways that I explore is by moving and traveling, right? It's like, it's being a gypsy, going here, going there, choosing to live in other countries. So this was a big thing for me because when I realized it was about exploration, when I had that realization, it wasn't actually about the diving or the snorkeling. It was about the exploration. I felt like I'd come home to something. Like I really knew myself. And so that essence that I am exploration, I can now look for that. I can now create that and bring the sense of exploration into my life more. And that just really lights me up. I love it. I feel on purpose, on track. It just has so much more meaning. So sometimes like the daily things of my work life, there's got to be a sense of exploration. Otherwise, I'm just not going to care. I get bored, I get distracted, whatever it is. And so the sense of exploration for me has to be alive. And when it is, I know I'm on my path and I know I'm in my purpose. I don't have to find it. It's just right there. Part of my purpose is to explore, and on the other side of that, another part of my purpose is to share what it is that I've learned. Now I'm going to share with you some suggestions, some steps, if you will, to connect more with who you are at your core, because yes, you have told who to be, what to be, how to do it, how to be it, how not to do it, yada yada. And there have been all these conditioning factors, and they were most of the time conditionally connected to whether or not you felt loved and that you belonged. And what happens is if we're not paying attention to our purpose, to our soul, and we're just caught in that conditional belonging love loop, then we can just start to feel flat. We can feel out of place. We can feel out of place. We can start to feel lower energy. We can maybe even feel like malaise, I was working with somebody recently, and that was a word that came up and a description of energy that she was experiencing. And it's just, right? It's like, you can go through the motions, but it's really, really flat. It's like a numbed out place to be. Sometimes it can go into cranky, right? Like I spent a lot of my younger years cranky and moody, and I didn't know why, but I'll leave that for another podcast. Here's what I want you to do. First, I want you to give yourself permission to discover your purpose. Permission to discover your purpose, even if you think you already know what it is, because it might be something different. The second thing I want you to do is to be willing to not know the answer right away. Now, this is where a lot of people get hung up. There's sort of this false sense of, I've got to have the answer. I've got to have that solution. I've got to know it now, and I got to know what it is. You know, people are like signing up left and right for a little 4-week course here on life purpose. And, oh, sure, lady, you know, you're going to have that in 4 weeks. No problem. Well, it just doesn't work that way. You want to be willing to let your purpose reveal itself to you, and you must be actively engaged in that intention. The soul is a mysterious, multifaceted energy container of you, and it's just not going to be pushed to give you that answer. It's not going to allow it. It's interested in lifetimes. It wants you to open up, start to pay attention, listen to the deeper things that you're hearing and feeling and knowing inside you. Listen, have a desire to listen to your soul. So you want to be willing to let your purpose reveal itself to you and not have the answers right away. And no, I don't know how long that's going to take you. We all take the time we take, and it could be days, it could be weeks, it could be longer, especially if you haven't been asking those questions or giving yourself the right space to ask. And if your mind is trying to fill in the gaps, which would be very normal, a very normal experience, it's trying to fill in gaps, it's trying to make sense of stuff, it will just keep you at a certain level, and you're not going to be able to access your soul information. So you're going to want to accept that you may not have the answer right away, and that that is okay. And it's actually a really, really good thing to be in the question rather than in the answer. Now, I touched on this a little bit, but I want to stress it. The next step, you really want to make sure that you're letting go of what it is you think it's supposed to be or look like. A lot of people get stuck there as well. Especially, like, I work with a lot of achievers, and with them, they're so used to, like, just signing up for something, taking the course, getting the degree, having the success, you know, launching a business, whatever it is, they're having some big success in their lives, and not necessarily in all areas, which is why they're working on themselves. But they are used to going after performance-based things, performance-based doings. Tell me what to do, I'll do it. What are the rules? I'll do it. I'll do it really, really well. A lot of perfectionism in there. They do it, they get rewarded, right? Maybe you're like this too, where you get the kudos, you get the praise. And if you don't, you don't get praise, you don't get acknowledgement, you don't get appreciation, you feel invisible, you feel, oh, ouch, that doesn't feel good, I don't want to do that, so I'll just keep performing, and I'll do more, and I'll do it better, and I'll be the best friend ever. It can translate into all different areas of your life. So it keeps you on a cycle of achieving, but not deepening, and it's a whole way of operating that doesn't let you really connect with your soul. So I want you to let go of that idea that you think you know what your soul purpose is, and instead be ready to discover what it is as it begins to unfold. And then after you've been with it a while, you'll be able to start connecting some dots for yourself. But it could take a little bit of time to get there. So those are the main things for being ready for your discovery. And then you're going to create space for your discovery time. It's like making a ritual out of it. And when I say create space, I mean literally like block it off your calendar and set boundaries. Like you might need to turn off your phone. You might need to let somebody know you're not available. Let's say if you're going to drive somewhere for your discovery time, you know, just leave your phone in your car or take it with you and turn it off. Do what you need in order to take a chunk of time for yourself. Whatever that length of time is, choose something that's going to work for your lifestyle. I want to encourage you to have at least 45 minutes. It certainly could be more, but do something. So ask yourself, what would give you the space that you need for your soul discovery activity? Now, regarding the ritual or the activity itself, what I did was I would go for a hike. I still do this. I go for hikes. I connect with the land. Now, I'm not doing anything tremendous. I'm not doing 6 miles or anything like that anymore. I just, you know, do something where my energy is in motion. I feel alive. My heart rate is up a little bit. And I get to connect in nature. Now, that's my thing. So my ritual would begin when I would get into my car and leave my apartment for like the county park. I'm thinking of this one place in Petaluma where I used to live in Northern California. So I knew where I was going to go, and I had an intention to discover more about myself. And then I would start the drive. And while I was driving, I would do things that would support me, like listen to instrumental soothing music. And I would get into the space of discovery. I would build the excitement, like, oh, I'm really excited to see how this, what I'm going to learn about myself. And by the time I would arrive at the location, I was just ready to go. And so I would do this specific little walk that I'm going to tell you about. And so you can do it too. And when I was done, I also like just gave myself a little quiet time, some journaling. So the whole thing for me was about 2 hours, maybe. And I probably blocked out like 3 hours of time because I love to use up time. I know how to milk the clock. So I probably gave myself 3 hours, but I only needed 2. And that's my approach for things. So you're going to do it the way you need to do it to actually give yourself the time you need. The ritual itself, the activity, is super simple. You're going to go on a walk at a specific place, and you get to choose a place. It's a place you like. It doesn't have to be in nature. It could, like, maybe you live in the city and you love it there. So walk around the city. But I do want you to feel safe. That is important. Wherever you walk, I want you to check for your safety. Make sure you're literally feeling safe inside your body. So take care of business and do whatever you need in order to do that. Oh, and I also want you to leave Fido, leave your pets at home so that you can really focus on yourself. This is about you, me time. And if you're saying to yourself right now, like, oh my gosh, I could never do that. How in the hell am I going to do that? Well, it is about damn time that you did. Find a way. Get resourceful. Hire a sitter, get a dog walker, whatever it is you have to do to create a small chunk of time in your week to go do this ritual. So you get there and begin your walk. And when you walk, you ask a question. And this is the question you're going to ask. What is my attention drawn to? What is my attention drawn to? Ah, what am I drawn to? I wonder. And as you walk, you notice the nuances. Just notice what it is that you're drawn to. It's really simple. So you're basically noticing what it is that you like. And you will find that there are some things that you really like, and then there are others you're like, just keep going. I don't need to give that any more time. Okay, what am I drawn to? And come back to the question, What else am I drawn to? Oh, I'm drawn to that. That's interesting. And so when you are drawn to something, and it could be anything, just spend a moment with it and explore it and see if you can understand what aspect of it or what part of it you're drawn to it. What is it about that thing? So for me, like an example would be that certain shapes of leaves, because I'm out there in nature, I'm seeing trees and stuff like that, and ferns and whatever it was. In Petaluma, it was oak trees. And I would notice things like how the light hit the leaves of the tree and then reflected off. And then also there were these swaths of light that would come down through the oak trees, causing these patterns that would spread out onto the land and make these different shapes and forms. And I was just mesmerized by that. That is those things, the leaves and the way the light would hit them and reflect and refract, that I was really, really drawn to. It could be anything. It could be the shape of something. It could be the color of something for you. It could be the functionality of something or the purpose that it serves, its usefulness. It could be sound. It could be any element, air, earth, fire. It could be the smell of something wonderful. It doesn't matter. I want you to notice what you're drawn to. So just stay in the practice as you walk. You're going to walk for at least 45 minutes. Okay, I'll give you a little break. A minimum of half an hour. You're going to walk and ask that question. And after you've done that, you've noticed a few of these things, or you're like, oh yeah, I'm sort of seeing a theme. Like, this is making sense to me. I hadn't really thought about that in a while. Maybe, oh yeah, I kind of remember that from childhood. Like, you might start making some connections for yourself. Find one of those things that you're drawn to. Or you could even do this after the walk. You can sit and journal and just reflect on it and ask yourself another question. How come? Why does that draw me in? How come I feel this way? How come I'm drawn to that? So the first part of the walk is, what am I drawn to? And the second part is, how come? You really want to keep your energy up here. You want to stay in curiosity. Well, that's so interesting. Well, I'm not sure I know the answer to that yet. And it's okay if you don't know the answer. You also want to refrain from judgment. Stay away from criticizing your choices, because there are no judgments about what draws you in. So you've reflected on this. That's basically the entire experience. And then maybe like a week later, I would like you to look at your notes, whatever you wrote down, or just remember back to the experience, or even go back and walk the same place and see if it's different this time. This is a way to enhance the experience and call forth a deeper part of your essence, the true you. This is one method, one way of beginning to connect with who you truly are and the things that motivate you, that light you up, the things that get you excited, or the things that make you feel alive. And I really want to thank you today for joining me. And I'm excited to hear about your walking and how that goes for you. Feel free to connect with me. And I wish you all the best as you continue to connect with who you truly are and honor it. Alrighty, I will see you the next time. Aho.
Thank you for listening to Realize Soul. If you love what you heard, please share us with your friends. And be sure to subscribe, rate, and review us on your favorite podcast directory.